Good morning.
What's up?
How are you?
Hi,
Carl. How you doing, Jasmine?
Very good, and on a rainy day.
Okay. I'm getting some static, so I think it would be best to do it.
From Esther.
We'll be starting in about 1 minute. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Yadula Tramita, Tasira, Alapet Gimel, Yutat Sadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagbenu, Tahareinu, no ra, Kufreshayim, Sintet Nun. Nagibor, Dorshe Yudcha, Kivavat, Shamreim. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yudkaf Shin. The letters of the month of Nisan. The Dalet that created the planet Mars, Ma'adim, and the He that created the constellation Taleh, the Lamb or the Ram, the astrological sign of Aries. Barchem Tacharem, Rakame Sitkasa, Tamid, Kamleim. Tetresh Saditav Gimel. Chasim Kadosh Erov Tuvcha Nael Adata Et Kufet Tet Nunayan. Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zopre Kedushata. Yud Gimel Amet, Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumot, Shin Kufav, Zadi Yud Tav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. Now we will separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. We will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for that purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, ורב חסד באמת. נוצא חסד לאלפים, נושא אהון ופשע, וחטאה ונקי. We'll now connect to the energy of the year of the goat, which is this year of 5777. This year has two verses that connect to its energy. The first that we will study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. And we will start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bithilu urhimu udhilu Le'achta l'shem yud e'bevav ve'yichudah shilim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah ve'hino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konenehu. Sod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these five words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words, tzatz, ki, ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these five Hebrew words of the verse, we're able to permute them into two Hebrew words, dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to this energy of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. This verse has concealed within it the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. Each letter of that name is separated by seven letters each. Kim ba'adonai yohewahe Elohechem tadebaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. We're now going to connect to the year of the pause, which is 5776. There are also two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit et kol haolot vayechaskum acheichem halevim ad kelot hamlacha v'yad yitkadshu ha-kohanim ki ha-levim yishrei levav v'hitkadesh mei ha-kohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe Lala He Wa 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 Yola Yo Alame Hey 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 Aka A Rekaha. The second verse that we study connecting to the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu Ba Adonai Yohewahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur Olamim. There are three verses that connect to the year of 5775, the year where death is swallowed up forever. The first that we study is Job, chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad biliruki. The second is 1 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 23. Uru Udu Mikol Hamachavoyam Asher Yitchabe Sham Weshavtem Eli El Nahon Wehalati Yitchem Wechayim Yeshno Varetz Vechipasti Oto Bekol Alfe Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach Yoved roav Yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy, and that's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesam ti makom le'amil Yisrael untati v'shakan tavta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu. Bene avla anoto ka asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar, from Parashat Yitro. It's Pasuk 29. This Pasuk has the energy of certainty. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tanenan Dekucha. Parihu koma diaved leela witata kolaihu kishot biovada dikshot feleilach mila bialma divae barnash bedachya leya mineya ulam harga peya kalana. Dehakulu ovada tikshot inun witola itzterich bealma. Now we're going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. The names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 27th day of Nisan. Rabbi Yeshayahu Asher Zelig Margolis, Rabbi Shalom Moshe Unger, Rabbi Moshe ben Rabbi Yaakov Halberstam, Rabbi Yehuda Kahana, Rabbi Levi Yitzhak Greenwald, Rabbi Shalom Moshe Unger, and Rabbi Avigdor Miller. As we normally do, when we won't be necessarily having a class where we will connect to these names for tonight, the 28th of Nisan, the Tzaddikim who left this evening, Rabbi Shem Klingberg, Ben Rabbi Abraham Mordechai, known as the Salosh Titzer, Rebbe of Krakow, Rabbi Tzabtai Sheftel Horowitz II, Rabbi Yechiye Ben Yosef Tzalach, the Maharitz, Rabbi Yehoshua of Ostrova, Rabbi Yosef Yoske, Rosenberg of Zalkava, Rabbi Yehoshua Pinchas Bambach of Ushpitzim, Rabbi Issachar Lieb Weinberg of Slonim, Rabbi Aryeh Shapira, Rabbi Aharon HaKohen Rosenfeld, known as the Pinks Karlin Rebbe. And the eighth verse of the Anapakoach we say in a whisper. Today's class can be found in a number of ways, the handout for today's class. We're going to be discussing the Omer and why we do certain aspects of the ritual of the Omer. You can find it on the Unique Astrological Times page. If you scroll down to the link that is up around the Purim link, and the link that you're looking for is the one that says Purim Pesach Omer Shavuot. That link opens up to a series of classes. When you scroll down that page, you're looking for class number 11. When you open that up, it is titled The Omer and all about the Omer. The following section is the religious view of the Omer. The Kabbalists always look for the cause and do not connect to the effect. See if you can begin to think like a Kabbalist as I read the religious explanations which came from the Chabad website. In the second century of the Common Era, a plague killed 24,000 students of one of the greatest sages and Jewish leaders of all time, Rabbi Akiva. They all died in the short span between Passover and Shavuot. During those 7 weeks between the holidays of Passover and Shavuot, we commemorate that tragedy with a period of semi-mourning. Historically, many tragedies befell our people during this period. The notorious blood libels incited anti-Semitic pogroms in the weeks following Passover. Historically, many tragedies befell our people during this period, and during these days of semi-mourning, we don't hold weddings. We don't listen to instrumental music. We don't buy a significantly valuable garment. We don't cut our hair or shave. And if your job requires this, you should give me a call and we can discuss it. Altogether, out of the 49 days in this period, we observe only 33 days of mourning. There are, however, differing opinions when these 33 days start and end. And you should speak to your rabbi to determine your community or your family's tradition in this matter. My commentary. Ashkenazi end the mourning period on the 33rd day of the Omer, which is Lag BaOmer. Sephardim wait till the morning of the 34th day in order to have a full 33 days, since the words of the Torah say complete weeks. The Kabbalists are dealing with cause, which is energy, and so hold these actions until after Shavuot. According to all opinions, however, the 33rd day of the Omer, known as Lag BaOmer, is festively celebrated, and all expressions of mourning are suspended. This is the anniversary of the passing of the mystic Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, a surviving student of Rabbi Akiva, and he specifically requested that we rejoice on the day when his soul was reunited with its creator. My commentary. In other Kabbalist teachings, Lag BaOmer is not his Hilulah, but the day that Rabbi Akiva taught the Kabbalah to Rabbi Shimon. Since Lag BaOmer is Hod Shebehod in the counting of the Omer, and this represents the spiritual or potential called Malchut of Malchut. More than this in another class. More about this in another class. Certain communities, including Chabad, observe the Omer mourning period from Passover until 3 days before Shavuot, except for Lag BaOmer. In order to be in accordance with all opinions, this custom is also in a concurrence with the teachings of Kabbalah, according to which this entire period is a time of harsh judgment. This ends the writings of Chabad. To understand the Omer, one has to truly understand the Sefirot. To relate fully to the Sefirot, one has to learn to meditate in a way where you learn to talk to the Sefirot and hear them answer your questions. Have you ever asked the Sefirot of Netzach, "What is your nature?" Try it, please, as you will find it mind-opening and spiritually beneficial. This period of the Omer has led to a very divisive issue within the Jewish world over the centuries. This history of the Omer, just as the history of the world, is related to the Sefirot. Of course, our historians do not relate to this aspect of history. They do not understand it. To begin to understand history, let's see what the Torah says about the Omer. In Leviticus chapter 23, in verses 15 and 16, I'm going to read the translation, even though the Hebrew is available on this web page. I suggest you scan the Hebrew. But the English translation for verse 15, "You shall count from the next day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. Seven Sabbaths shall you complete." And the 16th verse, "To the next day after the seventh Shabbat shall you count 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal offering to Hashem." Do you see what created the problem and the conflict in these interpretations? The phrase, "the next day after the Sabbath," is Sunday. Yet this year, as every year, we start counting the Sabbath the day after the first night of Pesach. How is it possible that we are not following a statement in the Torah? The above is the conflict based on the reading of the Torah, and let me explain. In the Talmud, the sages suggest, and the halakha follows, the idea that the word Sabbath means a holiday, means the 15th day of Nisan, and not the Sabbath after Pesach, which a literal reading of the verses would imply. This led to a disagreement, a mahlochet, an argument for the sake of heaven, between a group of knowledgeable Jews called the Karaites and the rabbis of the Talmud, and the rabbis who follow the Talmud. The Karaite said the Torah must be read literally. If the Torah said Shabbat, then we start counting on Shabbat, or the day after Shabbat, on Sunday. The Talmud says the word Shabbat means the holiday of Pesach and the night of the first Seder. This argument, along with many other literal interpretations that made different ideas than what the rabbis of the Talmud said, went on for centuries. This difference in interpretation became a major stream of Judaism, similar to the different streams of Judaism today, like modern Orthodox, or Hasidic, or Chabad, or conservative, renewal, and even reform. The Karaites, around the year 1000 in the Common Era, it is estimated that they had between 30 and 40% of the Jewish world following their pattern. At that time, an essay, a treatise, was written by one of the most famous sages that followed the rabbis of the Talmud. In this treatise, he explained how absurd it is to read the Torah literally. For example, the Torah says to wear tzitzit and tefillin, but does not give clear instructions regarding how they are made and how they are to be worn. This essay, this treatise, also made it easier for all of us to practice Judaism as well. In the treatise, the Gaon Sadia, who lived in Babylon, explained that according to the Karaites, the statement in the Torah to not build a fire on Shabbat meant to not be able to warm food on Shabbat. So there were no lights, there were no candles left burning in the house. There was no fire to warm the food, and all food must be served cold, even on Friday night, since the fire of the stove must be extinguished at the time of lighting the candles, which also must be stopped at sundown. After this treatise circulated among the Jewish world, and people who had started to follow the literal interpretations of the Karaites realized that they could have warm food on Shabbat, providing they followed certain recommendations of the halakha, the Karaites became less popular. Until today, the Karaites have become a very small minority of the Jewish world and are rarely even known by most Jewish people today. Personally, I do follow some of the reasoning of the Karaites when it comes to declaring the new moon, but the majority of their literal interpretations are really limiting the pleasures of Shabbat, which I do not consider appropriate for the meaning of Shabbat. I have provided you some links for you to study the history of the Karaites, but I also warn you, if you do research for yourself, be aware there are many websites that claim to be Karaite that are actually what is being called Messianic Judaism. This is a group that practices the literal interpretation of the Torah, along with an evangelical connection to the New Testament. It is easy to become confused by these two groups, who both call themselves Karaite. This may even apply to the links I have put here. Here's some practical aspects of the counting of the Omer. During the Omer period, we are not to have Kavanah when we pray, except for the process of the counting of the Omer. This means we do not create unifications with the Hebrew letters in our prayers. And let me emphasize this point. The only place we create unifications, and I will discuss this below as well, is when we count the Omer. no other prayer time during the Omer period, not morning or afternoon or evening prayers, only the counting of the Omer. The reason for this halakha is that the Omer is a period of judgment, and when we create unifications, the universe evaluates our merits before it allows itself to unify. During a time of judgment, we need to be especially full of merits, and that may not be the case, unfortunately. The sages are building a fence around the Torah with this halakha, and it is better for us to be safe rather than sorry. There is a minhag of the Kabbalists to hold in their right hand a little salt. This action sweetens the period of the Omer, since it acts as a protection shield in a number of ways. The Hebrew word for salt is malach. They have the same letters as the shoresh for war. So salt acts as a vaccine against war during this period of the Omer. Also, the gematria of malach is 78, which is three times the gematria of the name of Hashem. The three creates a protection shield for all three columns. And this is a hint. There is no need to use new salt every day during the counting. Just put a little salt in a plastic bag. Then use this salt on your Shavuot milk meal, Shavuot morning. The energy of your vessel building is being inserted into the salt and will fulfill your vessel upon receiving the Torah, Shavuot morning. The Omer is counted in three diverse ways. The number of the day, like the first day, the second day, the third day, the 10th day, the 42nd day, and many, and obviously many more. In Hebrew, it's Yom Hayom Echad, Hayom Sheni, Hayom Asara, Hayom Shenayim Arbayim. The second way of counting is the number of links. The number of weeks plus the number of days within a week. An example would be this is week 3 plus 4 days of the Omer. You can get the Hebrew from the Daily Omer Count page on the Yeshem website and located at this Omer link that's on this web page. And the third way, which is not always counted by all of the different groups. The third way is to count down the Omer from Chesed Shebechesed to Malchut Shebechesed. The third way is to ask or to count using the Sefirot. Now the word Sefirah, the shorish of this word, comes from the root dealing with numbers. So this way of counting also makes sense for many reasons. I want you to answer the question, why do we need to count in these three different ways? And the hint is, if you look at the translation of the Torah verses above, you will find where it tells us to do all three. Always say Hayom, since that means today is in Hebrew. The gematria of the word Yom is 56. When we add the Kolel, it becomes 57, which is the sequence from the third verse of the 42-letter name of God, Nun Gimel Dalet, as well as the Hebrew word Zan. Zan means Parnasa or sustenance. So by saying Hayom, we connect to the flow of sustenance that comes from the Shefa of the Creator. When we say Hayom, we are also saying the permutations of those letters. Here are some of the permutations. The final mem is formed from four vavs. These vavs can be used as vowels for each of the other three letters, like this: Yud vav, He vav, Vav vav, and Vav. The gematria of this sequence is 45, which is the same gematria as Adam, the original man and woman in unity in Sifu. I purposely left off the final hey, but in the calculating the gematria, it is there. The gematria of Hayom using the final letter value is 621. This is 620 plus the kolel. 620 is the number of mitzvot when we add the seven mitzvot from the sages in the Talmud. It is also the number of letters in the Eser Dibrot. So when we say Hayom, we also are including the Eser Dibrot in the counting. It is also recommended to say the names of the kings who died in Edom prior to there being a king in Israel. If you are unfamiliar with this concept, it is truly recommended to become familiar. It is a metaphor from the Torah in Genesis. The Ari teaches that these seven kings who died out of the eight kings listed in Genesis by name are the sparks that fell into the Klipot during the world of the breaking of the vessels. These sparks of light are elevated when we say their names after or at the end of the counting each night. And here is how to do so. Week one is King Bila. We say the name similar to the Sefirot as follows. Day one is Bila da Bila. Bila is a word that means glutton, swallowed, to engorge, to engulf, to absorb, to eat up. Day two is Yobab da Bila. Yobab is a word that comes from the Shoresh that means to wail, to sob, to blubber, to whimper, or to whine. Day three is Hashem da Bila. Hashem is a word that means to worry, to fear, to be afraid, to feel pain, chas v'shalom. Day four is Hadad da Bila. Hadad is a word that means the breast, the nipple. It also means to remove or to elude sleep. Day five is Shamila da Bila. Shamila means dress or garment. And this is a code word for a klipa, which is a covering, a shell. Day six is Shaul da Bila. Shaul is a word that translates as borrowed, loaned, hell, Hades, the underworld, abyss, or the grave. Day seven is Baal Hanun da Bila. Baal Hanun translates as master of pity, or owner of pity. During week two, you substitute the name Dayobab for Dabila. In week three, you substitute Dahashem for Dabila. In week four, you substitute Dahagad for Dabila. In week five, you substitute Dashamila for Dabila. In week six, you substitute Dashaul for Dabila. And in week seven, you substitute Dabial Hanun for Bidabila. Please note that one can see clearly that the sparks that can be elevated through the names of these kings of Edom, there is also much that can be learned by contemplating the idea that just as these kings came first and fell, and Terach came before Abraham, and Ishmael came before Isaac, and Esav came before Jacob, it is necessary for our negativity to come before we reach the level of a tzaddik. Our negativity needs to be cleansed first. These contemplations will help in raising the sparks that only you can raise in all of the human peoples. Throughout the generations, there are sparks that only you can raise. When do sparks actually get raised, and how is this accomplished? One of my teachers used the example of when someone stops to let another person turn left prior to entering the intersection. That is a mitzvah. That is the elevation of a spark from the klipa. That is a tikkun, a correction between these two people. Psalm 67, known as the menorah psalm, and it is best to use the menorah segula, the image of the menorah, when you say Psalm 67. And here is a link to a shviti of the menorah, another less accurate word for shviti is a glyph, a diagram. And there is a link to the menorah kavanah. If we have time when we finish the handout, I will discuss the possibility . Well, I have other things to discuss. I was going to say that I would read some of the Kavanah, but I have other things to discuss with you. So I highly recommend that you read both the Shviti and the Kavanah as explained in the link that is on this website. Psalm 67 is read each weekday in the morning prayer by the Orthodox communities. Psalm 67 has a direct connection to the name of 42, to the Anabakoach, as can be seen on the Shviti. Psalm 67 has a direct connection to the birth pangs of Mashiach and is considered a protection shield for that time, which is our generation. We will shortly have a prayer class on one of the Sunday morning classes to delve into the Kavanah above, plus much more in-depth Kavanah. And I've had a number of those classes, and they're all available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. Psalm 67 has 7 verses with a total of 49 words. Along with the middle verse, which also has 49 letters, when we add the missing Vav, the Ari teaches that due to these connections, we should utilize this psalm during the Omer as a cleansing tool, and the menorah Shaviti as a protection shield. Please now go to one of the Omer days, as I will read and explain all of the different concepts expressed in the pages that are available for the counting of the Omer on the Hashem website. I'm not going to do that. We do that each evening, and if you want me to take the time during the counting of the evening in any particular day, you can go ahead and ask me that, and it will appear on the recording for that day. One subject that I would like to talk to you about is tonight and tomorrow, the 28th day of Nisan, is known as Yom HaShoah. Now, there are many days in the Hebrew calendar where people say Yisker, a prayer that helps to connect to the soul of your loved ones and helps them to elevate within the Garden of Eden. What does it mean to elevate within the Garden of Eden? It means that they, by you doing this action of saying Yisker for your loved ones, you are elevating the soul of that person to reach a higher level. You are raising some of the sparks that they did not raise while they were alive. You are completing certain actions that they need to be completed. That's why people have a strong sense to say Yisker. And the Hebrew Orthodox tradition, Yisker is said at the end of every holiday, the last day of every holiday. Now, what about if you get a message, a dream? In a meditation, you get some direction to complete an action of your loved one. There's a story told of Rabbi Akiva, who received a dream from somebody he really didn't know, or he knew very slightly. And this man in the dream told him that in order for him to not have to reincarnate, his son, who was illiterate, would have to learn to say the Kaddish. And on Yisker, we say the Kaddish. So Rabbi Akiva went to great lengths to find the son and then to teach him the Hebrew letters and the prayer of the Kaddish. And then when he had said his first Kaddish for his father on his Yortzeit, on the day that he passed in Mech, the soul was elevated and no longer under sentence from the spiritual court to have to reincarnate. So it's good to be open, to hear your loved one's requests, asking you what you can do to help them elevate. Remember, one of the important aspects of these requests is they have no way to pay you back. So you doing this kind of action, like saying the Kaddish for a loved one, that mitzvah has a higher sanctity than other mitzvot. This is the teaching of the Kabbalah. Yom HaShoah is tonight and tomorrow. What is Yom HaShoah? It's the day of the memory of the Holocaust. Why do we need to remember the Holocaust? We need to remember the Holocaust so that it doesn't repeat. We need to remember the Holocaust so that we can read the names from a list of the 6 million who died, so that someone is saying Kaddish for these people to elevate their souls. Remember, most people, most children of Israel, most Jewish people who died between the years 1946 and 1962 or 3, if you were born in that period, it's more than likely you passed away during the Holocaust. A very powerful message, a very powerful tikkun. And I highly recommend you do a search for the names of the 6 million who passed in the Shoah and start reading their names on Yom HaShoah. Now, there are many Orthodox people and many people of different aspects of Judaism that disagree that Yom HaShoah is this day, the 28th day of Nisan. It was passed by the Israeli legislature, the Knesset. It was not based on the religious rabbis. They have expressed another day. There's an international Yom HaShoah. We heard a little bit about that a few months ago, or about a month ago or so, when the new President Trump did not mention Jewish people, and some of the people became enraged or outraged. It's good on each of these days to read some of the names of the people who died in the Shoah. It's good to teach your children to read along with you until they are able to read by themselves. In reality, you individually will almost never complete this list of 6 million. But that doesn't mean that as part of the children of Israel, you will be able to complete the list if you so choose. That's the end of our class. Let's describe the classes coming up this week. Tonight at 3 p.m. West Coast time, we will start our classes in Lashon Hara, in evil speech, in learning how to speak properly And as we learn in this, well, as we learn in the parasha of Tazria and Metzora, learning to speak properly is a healing process for our souls. So I hope you'll join us in that class. At 8:30 tonight, we will count the Omer. Tomorrow, Monday, at 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class. At 7 o'clock, we will have an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. At 8:30, we will count the Omer. Tuesday at 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class. At 7 p.m., we will have a Tikkuni Zohar class. At 8:30 Tuesday, we will count the Omer. Wednesday, at 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class. And at 7 p.m., we will have our Rosh Chodesh ER connection. And at 8:30, we will count the Omer. Thursday, at 4:30, we will have an advanced reincarnation class. And at 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class for the Parasha of Metzora. And at 8:30, we will count the Omer. Friday at 8:30, we will count the Omer. This coming Shabbat, at 6 o'clock, we will have Havdalah and our third meal, strengthening the immune system. At 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class. And at 8:30, we will count the Omer. And next Sunday, at 10:30, we will continue our preparations for the various holidays that still remain, the various high energy days in the month of Iyar. And at 3 p.m. next Sunday, we will have our second class in how to speak properly, our class in Lashon Hara. And next Sunday evening at 8:30, we will count the Omer. Are there any questions today on anything I have said, on anything in our handouts, on any subject? I bid you all shalom, a shavua tov, a good week, a week of peace, a week where gladness reigns and joy increases. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, Shavuot Tov.